Last chapter.
Okay, so the Ramchal in the end of Derech Hashem. It's section 4, chapter 4, the Shema and its blessings. He has quite a few pages on the Shema, just on the Shema. This is the Derech Hashem.
Derech Hashem.
Derech Hashem. So we actually did learn this many, many moons ago, the whole book. Nevertheless, I just wanted to review some of the Shema in light of what we did today. So I did not get to review the entire chapter, which I would have liked to. But I do want to just reread some of this, because I think this is important for what we're talking about right now. Gosh, this is a long section.
We can do it next week again, too. Keep going.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. Let's just say these two. This is an interesting thought. Okay, so the first two obligations we have to fulfill every day is saying the Shema. Okay. We don't have to do that. So that is, a Jew must realize that God willed many types of entities into existence. Higher ones and lower ones. Spiritual ones and physical ones. Each creation having its own particular design and assembly. So we talked about that earlier in Derech Hashem, all the different types of creations, right? God gave each thing its own special powers and capacities, enabling it to act and accomplish depending on what the divine wisdom decreed as its role. The root and cause of everything, however, is one, God himself. Actually, so this is what I thought was interesting for today, actually, God's oneness and kingship in relation to his creation is best understood by examining it from two different perspectives, existence and actions. Existence, we've already discussed in the first section. It was explained how all existence depends on God and is derived from his will. There's only one intrinsically imperative existence that does not depend on anything else whatsoever, and that is the existence of God. Everything else exists only because God desires it and wills that it exist. The same is true of activity that goes on in existence. So this is what, here's our chiddush for today, right? What we're adding on to our understanding for today. Actions. The same is true of activity that goes on in existence. God gave the elements of creation the ability to rule over their own particular domains. And each one can accomplish many things according to its particular nature. In reality, however, none of these things has any power or authority other than that given to it by God. The only one who is the true, all-powerful ruler and authority is God himself. So just think hurricanes, right? Hurricanes have power. They can destroy, but only what God allows them to destroy. They cannot destroy on their own. There's no unleashing a hurricane and see what happens, right? They're all under God's rulership. All other things can accomplish only what God gives them power to do, and he is their master to increase or decrease their authority at any time, whenever he so desires. This also includes another deep concept. The system devised by God's wisdom for the benefit of all things created includes many concepts of evil, as explained in the first section. The concept of evil can then, so in case you're looking up that first section, it's 1:5:8. The concept of evil can then have an effect and influence in the world. Some of these are a result of man's own free will and sins, while others are a consequence of what is decreed to punish him. So it's two separate things in a way, right? Some is, let's just take a toothbrushing example. I like that one, right? Because there's natural consequences to not brushing your teeth. You get cavities. Is getting a filling a punishment? It's not. It's the natural consequences of not brushing your teeth. You get a cavity. Now you have to sit in the chair and have discomfort and pay money for the discomfort, right? That's natural consequences. That is not a punishment. But if you're a 15-year-old whose parents said, you've got to, your teeth are crazy, and next time you get a cavity, and we're getting you Sonicare, and we're getting you that, and if you don't do it, next time we are fining you. So, yeah, there's also the punishment. He still has to sit in the chair. Maybe they're going to make him pay for the thing. And they're also saying, this is ridiculous. We're trying to train you here. And now you can't play on football this season because you've got so many cavities, right? That's also a punishment. Mm-hmm. It's two separate things, right? So some of these are a result of man's own free will and sins, while others are consequences of what is decreed to punish him. Those two different types of evil, right? Superficially, this may seem to go against God's will. He wants only good, and his desire is to do good, and his name is desecrated when the wicked have power, and the forces of evil and corruption prevail, like right now, right? Nevertheless, one who truly knows God's ways and delves deeply into their significance realizes the true meaning of this. All of this is a circuit consisting of various causes, which in a profound manner are all aimed toward one point, namely the perfection of all creation. When this purpose is accomplished, all these elements of evil will cease to exist, as explained in the first section, 1-4. God is therefore ultimately the actual director of all things, and his plan alone is what will abide. His good and perfection will then ultimately be bestowed upon all his handiwork, as explained in that section. Let's see, should I read one little bit more? One little bit more, just for evil. According to the way in which God's incomprehensible wisdom and true good founded creation, however, it was ordained that the true nature of the ultimate goal come about through these roundabout ways, including evil. At the end of all these, remember, he's writing before the Holocaust, and I think he's writing after Hmelnytsky.
1648.
Yeah, right around that time. I think he's just after. And that was, if you think about it, Hmelnytsky was like ISIS. Gratuitously,
Hmelnytsky.
But they were not regular pogroms. They were like ISIS. They were brutal and disgusting. They enjoyed torturing people. I remember
Christian? Supposedly Christian hordes?
Yeah,
were they?
They're Ukrainian Cossacks. Okay. Terrible.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were, until that time, the worst that we ever experienced.
The scourge.
Because it wasn't just being killed. It wasn't just like the Crusades where they burned people alive in a shul.
Right.
Bad enough. Right. This was, and I just remember hearing one example, but this, like, I heard an example of a pregnant woman. They cut open her belly, took out the baby, and put in a cat. They just did it to torture. It wasn't to kill.
No.
It was to create misery.
Yeah.
And so there had never been that vicious an attack on Jews before. That was the most vicious ever. So in the Holocaust also, they did things just for the pleasure of the... So like
the
ISIS.
Pain. Mm-hmm.
For the pleasure of the pain. That's what ISIS is doing. For the pleasure of it. Right?
Right.
It's not just to kill them.
Right.
You know, there's one thing just to mow down people.
When you take a human being
and
you decapitate them on
the
internet.
That's for the pleasure.
That's for the pleasure.
That is for the pleasure.
Right.
So that's what Hmelnytsky was like. For the pleasure of the pain. Right? So there's been lots of bad things, but there's even worse things than bad things.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So let's see, where's the beginning of that sentence? It's hard to understand, but at the end of all these, however, it will be known that God is one, alone and unique, echad, yachid, umiyuchad, and that it was he who caused all these things in order to bring about the true goal, which is the genuine good that we have discussed. Also included in this profound concept is the revelation of the true nature of God's unity. So this whole thing is about that. So you have to know, that's what the Shema is talking about. As much as we see frayed edges, as much as we see how could this possibly be part of the picture, how could all the suffering be what God wants? It's not that God wants the suffering. It's that it is all headed in the direction of the ultimate revelation. And it's going to be so clear when that revelation comes, that flip in perspective will happen for all of us, for the Christians, for the Jews too, you know, for the Muslims too. We're all going to get that little flip in perspective where we get it, and everything's going to make total sense, even the Holocaust and everything else like that. Hard to imagine today how it could, which is why we're going to need that then. You know, sometimes I'll talk to couples who are struggling and say, why should I go to a therapist? We're doing everything we can. I'm like, that's why you should go to a therapist, because everything you can is not enough.
Right,
there's something outside of that
you
don't know yet.
You're limited in what you can.
Right. You don't know yet what that thing is that you're not doing that you need to be doing. And I'm not a therapist, so I can't tell you. All I can tell you is go to a therapist because they can help you. So, but that's what it is here, is that we don't yet know. As Jews, we are doing all we can. We don't yet know what's that little extra piece of information we need that's going to make all this make sense, because right now it's not make sense. No question about it. And there's definitely plenty of Jews who will say, God, you're so mean, I don't want to have a relationship with you.
Right.
You know, what you've done to my family, what you've done to my country, whatever it is,
right.
I'm not interested. I'm out of here. Right? So there's got to have to be that shift of perspective that's going to include all those Jews to be able to say, oh, I get it. I get the Holocaust. I get the science. I get the rhetoric. I get the day school inoculation that makes me immune to Judaism. I get it now. Right? And all makes me... I figured it out, right? But it's going to have to be something extra that Hashem helps us, because with whatever we have now, it's not happening.
Right.
And that is the perfect segue to our next chapter, which happens to nicely blend in with what we learned today. I love it when that happens. I don't know if it's going to keep happening, but so the second, we did the first one. In the second chapter, maybe I'll start this again, just so I have it.